Right, okay, so we are on Daf Chof Tes Amud Aleph. So we said a very big chiddush yesterday. We said if Reuven owned up to Shimon, and the next day he said, although I said yesterday that, yes, I owe you money, but I was just joking. Meshat ani boch. So we said he's believed. He's believed. We'll have to see more about this presently. So keep on going in the Gemara. Veloy oid. Do you have the Gemara where it says veloy oid? The last word on the line is loy. In fact, the first word on the line is also loy. About 15 lines from the bottom of the Gemara. We said, if you said Meshata ani boch, yesterday you said you owe me money, as he said yes. Next day he comes to claim it, he says, sorry, only joking. So we would have thought that, well, once you've owned up, it's too late. You can't now backtrack. And that is the tremendous chiddush of the Gemara, that actually you can, because you could say, I was just joking. Now, when that is relevant, when can that be claimed, we'll soon see. Says the Gemara, v'loy oy, not only that, elo afilu hichmin loy edim. What does it mean, hichmin? Says Rashi, hich be hid. Even if he hid edim, so hichmin means to hide. So even if hichmin loy edim achire geder, imagine you had two edim who you placed surreptitiously behind the fence. Remember we said yesterday that there exists this concept of saying atem eda, you are my edim. So clearly, if you appoint Edim, and in front of the Edim you say, I hereby admit that I owe my friend money, obviously there's no backtracking from there. But where you admitted not in front of Edim, the chiddush of the Gemara is, he's allowed to claim, Meshata ani boch, I was just joking. Case number one. Case number two was, even if there are Edim, but it was unbeknown to him when he admitted, because they were hiding behind a fence. Says the Gemara, afilu hichmin loy edim achire geder, even if he hid the edim behind the fence, va'omar loy, and he said to him, mona li beyotcha, he said, you owe me a mona, omar loy heim, so the loyve admitted, and he says, yes, quite right, I owe you money. And then he said, Ritzoincha shetoide bifnei ploini uploini. Says the Malvet the Loiva, would you be willing to admit that in front of Edim? Now, of course, he doesn't know that there, in fact, are Edim there. He just can't see them because they're behind the fence. So again, he says, you owe me a money, you owe me a money. He says, yes, yes, I do. Okay. Would you be prepared to admit that in front of two Edim? Omar Loi, what he says, Misyariani, I'm a bit afraid. Shemo tachfeini ledin. Maybe you'll force me to din. So even though I've admitted I owe you money, but I'm a little bit afraid to admit as such in front of Edim. Remember when I asked my little boy many years ago, he ate something, I said, did you make a bracha? And he said, yes. I said, be'emet? He said, no. So apparently there's a difference to what actually happened and be'emet. So he also, you owe me a mana? Yes, I agree. Would you admit in front of Edim? A bit afraid. L'mochar amar lo'oy, the next day he said to him, t'nehu li. The next day he said, okay, could you please give me the money? It's true you didn't admit in front of Edim because you were afraid, but you did, after all, say to me that I owe you money. You admitted you owe me money. So he says once again, Meshata ani boch. I was just joking. I was joking. So once again, Potter. So what's the common denominator between both of those cases? That even though in the second case there were Edim, it was just unbeknown to him, in both cases he's allowed to say, Meshata ani boch. How can you say Meshata ani boch? Because at the end of the day, he did not actually admit in front of Edim. So as long as it wasn't in front of Edim, at least Edim that he knew about, you can always say, I didn't mean it seriously. Prove to me that I meant it seriously. Maybe I was joking. If I formally appointed Edim, there they were standing in front of me, and I said, yes, I hereby admit that I owe money to somebody else. Well, there's no going back from there. You're clearly not joking if it's in front of two Edim. But as long as it's not in front of two Edim, even in the second case where actually there were Edim there, but he didn't know about it, therefore he never appointed them, in either case, you can say, Meshata ani boch.
Rabbi?
Yes.
If there's no Edim, what's the difference if he was joking or not? If there's no Edim, it's not valid.
Because I might have thought we have a principle, Hoidoas bal din kemei Edim domi. Once you admit, that is like 100 Edus. The chiddush over here is that not in the cases of money. Not in the cases of money. I can say Meshata ani boch. Now the Gemara suddenly throws in a strange line. Ve'ein toyanin lemesis. Now, what does this mean? We have a very important principle. Whenever we're dealing with a case, for example, between Reuven and Shimon, a financial case. So as we well know, very often, the psak halacha will very much depend on what they claim and the way they claim it. So for example, we all know we have halachas of Bori and Shemo, Bori Odif. So it all depends on what you claim, how you claim, what you said. We have a principle, which we have probably seen at some stage or another, called Migu, right? What does Migu mean? I could have said this, I could have said that. There's all different ways of winning the trial at the end of the day. But it really all boils down to, in the final analysis, what was your taina? So the question is, do we ever offer the litigants a taina? By the way, not only in the case of Momonos, even in other cases. Somebody's accused in Beis Din of being Mechalal Shabbos. So again, it depends on what he would claim and how he would claim it, how in theory he could prove his innocence. Would we ever offer him a taina? Meaning, would we ever say to him, you know something? If you just said ABC or DEF, you'd actually be okay? So yes, there is such a principle. And it's called ta'aninon, toyanin. We help them express their claims. The chiddush of the Gemara is, and what on earth this has got to do with our discussion, the Gemara is about to ask. But the Gemara says that there's one particular aveira where you would not encourage or in any way offer help with tainas, and that is in the case of mesis. What's a mesis? Have a look at Rashi. Says Rashi, v'ein toyanin lemesis. Hamesis chaveiroi la'avoidas kvechovim. Mesis means to coerce. If you coerce your friend into being oived avodah zarah, then ein toyanin oisoi bezdin bishviloi. Bezdin will not claim anything on his behalf, tainas zechus, any type of innocent sounding claim, Elohim kein toyenes toyanahu, unless he claims it. So for example, didn't we just say, and now you can begin to see the connection, didn't we just say that you can have a case where it looks for the world like he's guilty? For example, the case we just mentioned 5 minutes ago, Reuven actually admitted to Shimon that he owes the money. Well, you would have thought it can't get clearer than that. It turns out that if he only claims now, Meshata ani boch, that I was joking, he'd actually be off the hook. In that case, we would whisper in his ear, maybe, that if you'd only say Mshata Ani Boch, he'd be okay. But in the case of Avodah Zarah, where you are a Mesis, where you encouraged and you coerced somebody else to force, not force, you coerced them to serve Avodah Zarah, then we're not tainim. It may well be that there is some type of victorious claim that he could make to exempt himself. If he tainas that, then obviously we cannot ignore anything he claims. But we will not proactively offer him any claim, even though we know that if he says this, he'll be off the hook. We only consider the case in accordance with the claims that were actually made. So now look back into the Gemara. The Ein Toyanin Lemesis. We don't offer a taina for a mesis, for somebody who encouraged somebody else to be over Avodah Zarah. Ask the Gemara, mesis man dochar shmei. What does that mean, man dochar shmei? Like we very often point out in Aramaic, a dalet can be interchanged with a zayin. So instead of dochar, it would read zochar, like Shabbos zochar. When you have a yud and a hey at the end of the word in Aramaic, you can always switch it to a vav. So all of a sudden, these strange-looking words become very straightforward. Man dochar shmei, if you want to convert that to Lashon HaKodesh, is man zochar shmoi. Who mentioned their name? Who's ever talking about a mesis? 1 minute ago, we were busy dealing with a case of Meshata Ani Boch, and all of a sudden, we've just morphed into mesis. Who on earth is talking about a mesis? Mesis, says the Gemara, man dochar shmei. Whoever mentioned mesis? Who's talking about mesis all of a sudden? Says the Gemara, you're right, there's some words missing. Chasuri, mechsiri, v'ochi katoni. There are some words missing from our discussion, and this actually is what it should say. Im loy toan. Im toyanin loy. If he didn't claim, we would not claim it for him. Which case is that talking about? Look at Rashi quickly. V'im loy toan meshate ha'yisi b'cho k'sho ha'ydesi. If he did not claim this potentially victorious claim, he could have turned round and said, like we said in the Gemara a moment ago, Meshate ha'yisi b'cho, I was just joking with you, k'sho ha'ydesi. When I admitted, he could have said that. Not only could he have said that, had he only said it, what would have been the halacha? He would have been exempt. But if he did not say that, rather, what did he say? Ela Omar, he claimed, Loi etein lecho, I'm not paying. Hove Edim, bring Edim shehilvesali that you lent me money. Again, what was the story? The story was that Reuven said to Shimon, you owe me a moneh. And Shimon admitted and he said, yes, I do. The next day, Reuven now drags Shimon to Beis Din and says, listen, can you pay up, please? After all, you admitted you owe me money. Now, how does this story continue? Well, in theory, it could continue by Shimon saying, yes, I admitted yesterday that I owed you money. Meshate ha'yisi, I was just joking. That's one possibility. Another possibility, he might well try to deny it and say, excuse me, I never borrowed money from you at all. Bring Edim to prove that I lent you money. What will be the halacha in that case? He'd have to pay. Because what do you mean, bring Edim that I lent you money? But you admitted yesterday. So it all depends now on what he claims. If he claims I was joking, he'll be potter. If he claims I deny I ever borrowed money, sorry, you can't deny because you admitted yesterday, you'd be chayev. Would the Beis Din step in and say, whisper in his ear, you know something? We have a winning claim for you. Why don't you just say, Meshate Hoyisi? That says the Gemara, we don't do that. Says Rashi, Ein Toyanin Bishviloi. We do not claim on his behalf. Elo Oimrim Loi. Rather, we say to him, Acharei Shehoidiso, after following the fact that you admitted, Leich Shalem, go and pay. Now look back into the Gemara. So these are the words that were missing from the Gemara. We learned the sugya of you can say Meshata Ani Boch, and there are some missing words. The Gemara should have continued by saying, even though if he claims it, he'll be exempt, but we will not claim it on his behalf. Okay. Now look back into the Gemara. Ubedine nefashois afal gav deloitan toyanin loy. As opposed to in a financial case between Reuben and Shimon. But if it's a case of dine nefashois, he's being accused of bimachal Shabbos, then toyanin loy. Then we will offer, we'll whisper into his ear, we will offer a claim that might well exempt him. And now the Gemara steps in and says, that the ein toyanin lemesis. Even though we just said in the case of nefashos, by the way, somebody who's a mesis is chayav misa. So it is dinei nefashos. So this is clearly an exception to the rule. The general rule is that in case of nefashos, toyanim loy. We will claim on his behalf, but not, however, in the case of mesis. Now let's see a Rashi. Rashi says, ubedine nefashos. Im yesh tainas zchus. If there is actually a taina that would make him innocent, problem is v'hu einu yodea litoin, but he doesn't know to claim it. Then toyanin loy. Then we will claim it on his behalf. Now let's not make a mistake, Rabbi Yisrael. There are occasions where a person will be considered innocent irrespective of what he claims. So if we have various Edim, for example, and the Edim contradict themselves, well, obviously he's innocent then because the Edim are inconsistent. I don't need his claim. But there are some cases where the Edim seem to be unanimous and they're all trying to indict him. And nonetheless, there might be a particular claim that could exempt him. Like, for example, Meshate Hayisi. Could well be that there were two Edim hiding behind the fence who said, yes, 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 we absolutely heard him admit. Okay, but nonetheless, if he says Meshate Hayisi, he'd be exempt. So we're not arguing with the Edim. We're just claiming a taina. So we don't do that in the case of Momonos, but we do in the case of Nefoshes.
Rabbi, I'm just having trouble understanding why we're jumping to the defense of someone who's hiding behind I was joking.
Because we can't prove that he's guilty. Maybe he really is innocent. I don't want to put somebody to death when he's not actually chayv misa. If al pi halachas of the Torah has a posuk, v'hitzilu ha'eda, the bezin have to do absolutely everything within their power to try and save somebody. What would be the difference, by the way, Rabbi Yosef, I wonder if in your art scroll they point this out. What's the difference, why in the case of Momonos, do we not tie on his behalf? And in the case of Nefoshos, we do tie on his behalf. What's the difference? Yes, Rabbi Larry.
Well, if it's a case of Nefoshos and we kill him, there's no going back. But if it's a case of Momonos and we find out at the end they were wrong, you can pay the money back.
Okay. I could think of one of three explanations. Reb Larry just said one of them. In Momonos, have always got to be, in the Fosh has always got to be more careful because once you've killed him, it's too late. Momonos, you can always backtrack. Another chiluk I could suggest is just on the severity of it. The Fosh is just much more important. If I'm going to make a mistake, even if in theory, even if I can't pull it back. But I don't want to make a mistake in the case of Nefoshes, as opposed to Momonos, is not that serious. A third chiluk might be that it would be unfair in the case of Momonos to claim and try and help one party because at the same time, you're not helping the other party. In the case of Nefoshos, when he's accused of being a Mechalel Shabbos, it's not him against anybody else. So let's try and help him out. But in the case of Mominus, it's all very fine and well, you're trying to help out Reuven, but then Shimon loses out. So why should you help Reuven more than Shimon? Rabbi Yosef, do they offer any explanation in the art scroll? You're on mute. Rabbi Yosef, you're on mute.
They quoted Vahatzino Ho'edo as to why they do it.
Right.
And also another one from open your mouth on behalf of the mute.
Right.
Speak on behalf, we cannot do it himself.
Right.
Yeah, but in an instance where he can't be expected to be familiar with the details of his case, such as an heir, he's talking about Mominus. I can't see anything that specifically as to why.
I'll call upon him, but we definitely have suggested a number of explanations, any of which might well be plausible. The difference between Nefoshos and Mominus. Nefoshos is no going back, number one. Nefoshos is much more serious because it's Pikuach Nefesh, number two. Number three, Nefoshos is not against anybody else. So therefore, we are prepared to help him out. But Mominus doesn't have any of those milers. Okay, back into the Gemara. So for some reason, there is an exception made in the case of Mesis. Even though Dinei Nefoshos Toyanin, we will offer a Taina, but not so in the case of Dinei Nefoshos. Oh, not so, excuse me, in the case of
Mesis.
And not so in the case of Mesis. Now, we haven't explained why. We haven't explained why. Why, for some reason, is indeed this case different to all other cases? So have a look at the Gemara. Says the Gemara, my shno mesis. What is the difference? Why is mesis the only case of nefoshos where I would not claim on his behalf? Omer Reb Choma Bar Chanina. Mi Pirkei de Reb Chia Ba'aba Shomi Ali. I heard this, said Reb Choma, I heard this from the Shir of Reb Chia. What did they say? What did Reb Chia say in the Shir? Shani Mesis. Mesis is indeed different. The Rachmon Omer, we have a specific pasuk in the case of Mesis, and it says, Loi sachmoil veloi techase olov. Do not have compassion and do not try and cover up his sin in any which way. So that pasuk, where Reb Chia explains, is specifically referring to this halacha. We don't try and help out the Mesis in any way. Says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Omer Rabbi Yonason, a different makor. Minayin she'ein toyanin lemesis. How do I know that we don't express a taina to try and help out the mesis? Says the Gemara, guess where I learn it from? A fascinating makor. Minochosh hakadmoini, the original snake. Back to the very first day of the Bria, the Nochosh hakadmoini was a mesis. In what way was the Nochash HaKadmoni a Mesis? Because he encouraged, he coerced Chavo into doing an Aveira. He's a Mesis. So where do you see from over there the Ein Toyanin? The Omar Reb Simloi. Because Reb Simloi said, Harbe Tainois Hoyoloi Lenochash Litoin. In theory, there might well have been many claims that the Nochosh could have claimed. Problem is, Veloitan, but he didn't. So the Nochosh, when he was called into din, as it were, by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the Nochosh could, in theory, have come up with various winning claims. For whatever reason, he didn't claim. And nonetheless, Umipnei, Ma Loitan, Loya Kodesh Baruch Hu. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu not claim it on his behalf? Why did not HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to the snake, well, if you only say X, Y, Z, then you'll be off the hook? So you see from over here, Lefi Sheloi Toan Hu, because he himself did not claim. So once the snake did not claim any of these winning arguments, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not offer them on his behalf. From here you learn, Ein Toanin Lemesis, says Rashi, Lefi Sheloi Toan Hanochosh, because the Nochosh did not claim any of the winning claims. By the way, the Gemara will explain in a moment what, in theory, could that winning claim have been. But whatever reason, the bottom line is that the Nochosh did not claim that. Is Loi Toan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bishviloi. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not claim it on his behalf. What could the Nochosh have claimed? Says the Gemara, Mai Havalei Lameima. What could the Nochosh have claimed that indeed would have exempted him? And you're telling me that there's the Chiddush that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't offer him this suggestion of, why don't you claim the following? What could that claim have been? Says the Gemara, very simple. Divrei Harav, v'divrei Talmid, divrei mi shaymin. Surely divrei Harav shaymin. The snake could have very easily said, excuse me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you not to eat from the tree. I told you that you can eat from the tree. So you heard one instruction from the Rav, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you heard one from the Talmud. Well, you should have listened to the Rav. So when the Rav tells you one thing and the Talmud tells you something else, divrei mi shemin, who must you listen to? Obviously the Rav. So if the Nochosh would have claimed that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have said, you know something? You're actually right. And we would have turned around to Chava, we would have said to Chava, I'm sorry, very poor excuse that the reason why I ate from the tree was because the snake told me so, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you otherwise. Divrei HaRav, Divrei HaTalmid, Divrei Mi Shemin. That would have in theory been a winning claim on part of the snake, but he didn't claim it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not suggest it on his behalf. So from over here you see, Ein Toyanin Lemesis. Yes, Larry.
Isn't a Mesis over on Lifnei Iver?
It's a type of Lifnei Iver, but it's the type of Lifnei Iver, correct. You have to know when is considered a Mesis, when is considered.
And also, correct, the Nachash didn't tell her not to eat it. Nachash said, look, Hashem told you can't touch it, and you see you touched it and nothing happened.
Okay, the Gemara is going to discuss this shortly, correct. So this is a classic example, says the Gemara, and in fact this is the source of the fact that the Nochosh could have claimed something. Had he only claimed it, would have been exempt. Problem is, as they say, could have, would have, should have, but didn't. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not offer this suggestion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not say to the Nochosh, well, why don't you claim the following? So from over here you see, Ein Toyanim Lemesis. Now, says the Gemara, Oma Chizkia, Minayin Shekol HaMoisif Goyreya. We have a principle that sometimes if you add, you're actually subtracting. Sometimes more is less. And the famous example is Chavo. Shenemar Omar Elohim, because Hashem said, Lo Yisoichlu Mimenu. She said to the snake that God told me not to eat from the tree. Velo Yisigu Boy. And she added, do not touch it either. HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually never said those words. That was her addition. And that's what got her into trouble. Why? Look at Rashi. Velo Yisigu Boy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loy his hirom al hanagiyah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually never warned them about Nagiyah at all. So who added it? She added. Umitoich toisefes. And because she added to the instruction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gir oy, she actually subtracted. Why? As we all know, shedochav hanochosh eschavo. The nochosh pushed chavo al ho'ilon ad shenogaboy until she touched it. Omar lo, what did he say to her? See, re'i, you see the she'ena misa al anagia. There's no death for touching. There's afalachila lo'itus. There's nothing will happen either when you die, when you eat it. So you see that it's only because she added that she got into trouble.
Didn't he add it really?
Huh?
He added it.
Who he?
Didn't Adam add it and he didn't? He added the chumrah, but he didn't tell her the difference between the chumrah and the halacha.
Oh. So you're answering possibly a very big question that I was just about to ask. Did Chavo know that not touching was an addition? If she knew it was an addition, then the whole story doesn't make any sense. Because what did the snake do? The snake pushed her onto the tree and said, ah, see, nothing happened when you touched, so nothing happened when you eat. Well, she would have turned around and said, well, to be perfectly honest, I added the not touching bit, so I'm sorry. It's not much of a proof that nothing would happen to me if I eat it. Had she only known that that was an addition, so it would seem to be that she didn't know. So it must have been that Adam HaRishon added this chumrah without telling her that it's actually a chumrah. So she thought it was part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's instruction. Ah, that was the Nochosh's ticket in. As long as she thought that this addition was part of the original instruction, so then that was his ticket. He said, well, botla miktsasa, botla kula. I pushed you onto the tree, you touched the tree, and nothing happened. Shkoyach, so if nothing happens for touching, nothing will happen for eating. So you see that not her addition, Adam HaRishon's addition actually got her in trouble. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll see Mitzvah Hashem Nehemshich tomorrow. Mitzvah Hashem Yisbarach.